Hello, and welcome to episode 83 of Speak Beastie for March 24th, 2019.
I'm Amy.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Shannon. How are you guys?
Hanging in.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
It's Thursday night. We got one more day to go. Woohoo!
Yeah. Thank goodness there are bagels in my future.
Today was my day off. Today was my weekend, so.
Nice. Yeah.
The one day was your entire weekend?
Well, I had Monday off.
So, okay. Yeah. I was going to say.
And I have next Monday off, so.
Okay.
Well, all right.
I have small weekends.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're just going to jump right on in
with
the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint. Just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
A few news items, mostly actually all about cast except for one. Joshua Shea, who is young Newt Scamander, released a single. The song is called Hindsight, and it features Joshua and his sister Esther. I can't pronounce that name. I've never been able to. I'm so sorry.
Esther?
Esther. There we go. Okay. I can't say it. I feel like I have a lisp every time I do.
It's okay.
Oh, the struggle.
I'm sure Josh and Esther forgive you.
Yes. Anyway, he posted a bit of the song on his Instagram, the two of them singing, and it's very, very pretty. It's got piano behind it, and the harmonies are really good. So, pretty cool. Multi-talented.
Nice.
Love him. And then we have Ezra Miller, who's also a musician, but this is not about him being a musician. That's me just trying
but
to tie things together.
But they should team up.
They should. Form a trio. Anyway, Ezra is showing off yet another talent. He'll be assisting in writing the script for the upcoming The Flash film that he's also starring in. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Adding script writing to his repertoire. And a new behind-the-scenes video released by MTV explores inside Newt's London home. So we get some really great shots of the set, behind-the-scenes shots, some close-ups of some of the props that are decorating the space, which is pretty cool. I know all those scenes go by so fast, so it's kind of neat when we get to zoom in on things. We see, like, a lot of shots of his desk that has, like, little, like, potted plants on it that it looks like he's studying. Such a Hufflepuff in his herbology.
Very cool set.
It is very cool. I love, like, the staircase and everything they built. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. You can look at that behind-the-scenes video on our website, milkonet.com. If you just search behind-the-scenes Newt's London home, it should come up. It's pretty cool. It's got some interviews in there with Eddie Redmayne and J.K. Rowling. So yeah, definitely worth a watch. And earlier this month, Johnny Depp filed a lawsuit against Amber Heard and presented new allegations against her in answer to the allegations she has made against him in the past. Obviously, here at Speak Beastie, we know this is a potentially triggering topic, so we really don't want to get into it too much detail. But as we have discussed the Depp Heard situation on the podcast in the past, we felt it was definitely something that should be mentioned. Again, I just want to remind everyone that we don't know what happened between both parties. These are allegations, and no judge or jury has decided on either situation, and there has not been like a ruling in favor of one party or the other. So since we're not going into a lot of detail here, there are other reports of what's been happening recently with this on the internet. So if you want to look up those, you can kind of see more of what we're talking about.
Well said. So moving into the owl post, sadly, we do not have any owl friends stopping by this week. I know. You know, they're all tired like us, and some of them were hungry like me. So we're just, you know, got to take a break when you can. But I thought instead, since the three of us were not on the last episode, right, Shannon? You weren't on the last episode, were you? Okay. Woo, nailed it. I thought we could answer last week's podcast question. Just, you know, so we can be the owls, you know, because we all deserve the chance to fly. Oh, I'm really in this musical mood. Wow, okay.
Oh, no.
So, if you could be a pigeon in the rafters on the Fantastic Beasts set, what would you most like to see or overhear?
Ooh.
Whoever wants to go first.
See, like, that's hard because I don't want any spoilers. Like, I feel like that would be, like, the number one answer. Like, wanting to know what happens with such and such plot line. Oh, yeah. But I don't want that. I want to be surprised. So if I was a pigeon in the rafters, I would, what do pigeons do? I guess they don't chirp, they like coo. I would coo very loudly so I didn't have to hear it.
You would say la 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 la, yes, la, but exactly. In pigeon.
I'd be like, and they'd be like, oh my god, we've got to get this pigeon offset.
And then I would...
Messing with the audio.
I would only listen and stop cooing, I don't know. When, I don't know, maybe to hear what they're serving for lunch. I don't know. That's a hard question.
Well, I want to see, like, all the jokes and, like, that cute chemistry that goes on in between them. And also, I want to just see what is real and, like, what's not. That kind of, like, spoils things, but, like, if someone is, like, in that funky green suit because they're, like, gonna act like the Zowu or something like that, I think that'd be really funny.
I want to see, like, how effects are being done on...
Yeah.
Like, any practical effects that are happening, but also how, like, CGI effects are kind of filled in on set. Want to see those tennis balls on sticks.
I think, like, if I didn't mind being spoiled, it'd be kind of cool to hear, like, how lines progress and change. Like, if there's any, like, changes and improvisations that kind of happen.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Deleted scenes that you're not going to see otherwise. Because we get promised deleted scenes and then they never exist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised neither of you said the coats.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah.
Like, just seeing all the costumes and all that
stuff. That's true.
Because, you know, when stuff gets cut, that doesn't mean you're going to see every single coat on screen.
True.
Well, and it would be cool to kind of, like, see what the extras are up to.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
We could see where they keep the coats.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, keep an eye out for the security code to get in the door so then we can take the coats.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
But
useful.
We would be pigeons. That would be difficult to carry.
But they're carrier pigeons for a reason.
Yep.
There is a movie about carrier pigeons and how they, like, saved the world and ended the war.
What?
I think it was called Valiant. I don't know why. I'm always the only one who knows this film. I just remember it very clearly for some reason.
All right, shall we just get into main discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today, we're going to talk about our best friend, Albus Dumbledore, and how he sucks. No, we're going to talk about Dumbledore's manipulation of, like, Newt and Harry, and I guess just in general, and just him as a character. I will say that I did kind of pull some points from two different MuggleNet articles that actually were written before the Crimes of Grindelwald was released, just kind of based on the trailers. One is Newt is Everything Dumbledore Wishes He Was by Victor Chan. And then the other one is The Dumbledore Conundrum by Lindsay Dawkins. And they both kind of talk about Dumbledore as a character and a little bit about like how he is or is not manipulating Newt. So if you're interested in reading some cool articles on MuggleNet, I recommend those. But yeah, let's get into it. So a big thing in Crimes of Grindelwald, in the whole Fantastic Beasts series, obviously, is that Dumbledore is very fond of Newt, and that he wants Newt to do everything. he says that he can't move against Grindelwald. It has to be Newt. But we're wondering why. Why does it have to be Newt? Dumbledore obviously has this blood pact thing with Grindelwald. We don't know a lot about that, but he's not supposed to be able to hurt Grindelwald. But so that kind of explains why he can't move against him, but that doesn't explain why Newt has to do it and not literally anyone else in the world. What do you guys think?
Do we think it's maybe something to do with how Newt is just very, like, pure of heart? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know goodness and being uncorrupt with, like, the ability to love and not be so jaded. That's what made Harry able to move against Voldemort. And obviously Dumbledore kind of used Harry to do that, the same way he's sort of using Newt to get at Grindelwald. So do we think that's the same sort of situation here, maybe? I mean, by this point, Dumbledore is kind of extremely jaded and a bit of a cynic. Doesn't really believe in love probably too much anymore here. But obviously Newt still has that ability and is very, like, pure and uncorrupted.
Yeah, I think that still makes me wonder, though, like, why send Newt into this fight?
Yeah.
Because it's obviously a very violent situation.
I mean, there's only so much Newt's creatures can do for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, who else it could have been.
I mean, that is the question. If maybe there's nobody else.
I mean, it's not like he was going to call up Theseus or someone who's already involved, so to speak, and be like, hey, can you just do this on the side for me too? You know,
he definitely trusts Newt.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely comes down to trust. Just because at this point, like, who would Dumbledore really trust? It seems like, you know, the ministry is kind of, doesn't really like him so much. And then, I mean, what else?
Seen that before.
But I mean, Newt is also, I feel like he's one of those people that is very loyal. He's a Hufflepuff. so I think if you're going to trust someone with something like this, he would be that person.
Do you think it's possible maybe he liked the idea of Newt because Newt kind of, like, fades in the background? Like, he's quiet, he doesn't seek attention. Like, I mean, if you think about it, if the Beast hadn't gotten out, the first movie would have gone very differently.
Yeah,
that's true.
Very differently.
That's true.
You know, the only reason all of this attention comes to him is, you know, because they got out and all that. So maybe it was, like, someone he felt that he could trust, but also who would be undetected and people wouldn't pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah.
You know, someone who could easily travel, and we, you know, and since he already knew Newt was traveling frequently, he would be able to do that, and it wouldn't, again, it wouldn't be suspicious, because of course he's traveling, that's just like his shtick, so to speak.
Don't be suspicious. Oh man, I need an edit of Newt and Teela walking into the French Ministry of Magic with that song.
Don't be suspicious.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point of, like, he kind of automatically falls under the radar. And that's almost the opposite of the situation with Harry. If we're comparing how he kind of uses both of them, is like, Harry, almost part of the reason it has to be Harry is because everyone knows who Harry is.
Yeah.
And his connection.
Yeah, Voldemort kind of did that one.
Yeah.
That one's all Voldy's fault.
That's on him, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny we're talking about trust, because, like, so I got out a bunch of old stickers, and I literally have sitting, like, right in front of me, my sticker from Borders that says Trust Snape.
Uh-huh. I remember
those! And also my Snape is a very bad man sticker.
Oh my god.
Because you couldn't decide.
Yeah, I could not.
You didn't want to make that choice.
I actually just really wanted free stickers, but yeah, I mean,
I don't think I had a pen. I think I had, like, a printable bookmark, like, once a week. Borders came out with, like, different downloadable bookmarks, and they were, like, all different questions about Book 7 and stuff like that, and one was like, can we trust Snape? And I'm like, oh, no, man!
So much. And then it wasn't even really that big of a deal. Anyway, I mean, Snape is an example of someone who he Dumbledore trusts, but nobody else does. Kind of for good reason, but, it works out, I guess. Snape might not be.
I mean, Snape died, so I don't know if that worked out for him.
Dumbledore and Snape both died, but
yeah. So I don't know where you would rank that on a, you know, on a success level. But, yeah. Hey.
It's interesting that Dumbledore kind of, like, it's interesting the people who Dumbledore trusts, because also obviously he trusted Grindelwald, and that did not work out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's, like, over two.
Yeah. But he's like, this kid, he's not gonna be a Dark Lord.
He's a good egg. We'll keep him.
Although, probably thought that about Tom Riddle, too. But...
Is it too soon? Is that too soon? I don't think so. I don't think it's too soon anymore. Guys, read the books. It's fine.
Ah, Dumbledore, what are you doing? All right, so,
But I do like this other idea that you had written down, Shannon.
Which one?
The experience with Obscurials.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I scrolled past that. Yeah, I mean, Newt has experience with Obscurials, and so it could just be as simple as, since Dumbledore is focusing a lot on Newt helping Credence, that it's like, well, you're the best person to help Credence. Because there was a deleted scene. Well, we know that he sent Newt to America to find Credence. But there's a deleted scene where he specifically said that Grindelwald had a vision of an Obscurus killing the man he fears, aka Dumbledore. So Dumbledore's like, hey, if you help this kid not be bad, then maybe I won't die. So yeah, it could just be as simple as, oh, Newt, you know how to do this. Last time I knew an Obscurus, she died. Didn't work out.
0 for 3.
Do you think Dumbledore took this even a step farther, and it wasn't just, hey, Newt, you know about Obscurus now, like, go handle this. It was more, he even set Newt up to even have that knowledge. Do we think that he sent him to Sudan?
Maybe.
He found that Obscurus originally, which is the only reason he knew what Credence was.
If he did, then I need to have a chat with Newt, because, like, why are you letting this man dictate your life? Like, he's sending you everywhere. Like, who's paying for this? Is Dumbledore financing these travels? If so, then, like, keep going. It's fine. But, you know, after a while, like...
Well, they must...
I'm sure finding the Obscurial, like, wasn't a pleasant, easy journey for him.
They must, you know, be keeping in some sort of semi-regular contact. Because if Dumbledore just... If your old school teacher just suddenly writes to you and is like, hey, can you go to Sudan or America, whatever, and find this child who also is an Obscurus, which is this, like, dark power thing. Can you do that for me?
I want to know,
like, that would be weird.
What Dumbledore said to actually send Newt to New York. Like, I want to know what his reason was for sending him, because I don't, like, I think it would have been something more...
Like, you don't think he would have told the truth?
No, not at all. I want to know, like, why Newt thought he was going to New York. And it's, like, in that scene when they're talking about
To return Frank to Arizona! Well,
I suppose. But did, like, Dumbledore just give him a Thunderbird and be like, hey, go take this back to Arizona? Like, I don't know. It's just, like, a very, like...
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, it's hard, because a lot of this I'm pulling from this deleted scene. It's hard to know whether or not we should consider it canon or whatever, but assuming we do, then it's very much like, hey, remember how I sent you to New York to find this Obscurus? And Newt's like, yeah. He's like, well, here's why I did it. It's like, okay, so before now you didn't explain.
Yeah. Well, and, like, what made it into the movie was so, like, nonchalant. Like, literally just that one line of,
yeah,
I know you are the one who sent me to New York, or something like that. And it's like,
yeah,
it makes it sound like Dumbledore is kind of, like, denying it. Like, oh, I didn't send you to New York. But Newt's like, oh, you totally did. You hinted at something and I went there, and, like, you knew I was going to go once you said such and such. Like, so I want to know. I don't know.
Let's see if I can find that quote.
Yeah, it's, like, it's weird. It's very, like, dodging the issue.
Super quick, though, going back to the whole, if your school teacher randomly hit you up and asked you to go on an adventure thing, didn't Dumbledore, like, basically do that to Slughorn? Like, not exactly, like, you know, like, a, you know, teacher-to-student relationship, but he basically was like, hey, what's good? I'm out of a potions teacher. Can you come on down? And then he was like, I really don't want to. And then he literally showed up at his house and was like, so... Like, let's do it. And he was like, please don't. And then he did it.
Okay, so here's a little bit of the conversation in Trafalgar Square. They're still convinced that you sent me to New York. You told them I didn't? Yes, even though you did. You told me where to find that trafficked Thunderbird, Dumbledore. You knew that I would take him home, and you knew I'd have to take him through a Muggle port. And then Dumbledore's just like, well, I've always felt an affinity with the great magical birds. Let me tell you the story about phoenixes.
Yep.
Yeah. And then they end up talking. I think right after that is where the deleted scene would have gone. Because then the next scene is Dumbledore saying Credence is in Paris. So.
Okay, so they explain a little bit more than I remembered, but still.
Randomly, did we know where the Thunderbird actually came from? Like, where he got it from?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure I didn't, like, forget. Cool. Okay.
That's very, how do you set that up, Dumbledore? How do you be like, I want him to find this Obscurus. So he's gonna go find this Thunderbird. And then he's going to want to take it to Arizona, but he's going to have to go through New York.
To go through New York. So he didn't start his travels in New York. He went somewhere else to then have to go to New York.
It's just so convoluted. Like, really, Dumbledore, you couldn't have thought of, like, a more direct way.
We don't even know how he knows about this Obscurus.
Right.
Dumbledore could play a mean game of poker. That's what I'm thinking.
Who is this guy? Yeah. But also, I think it's very in character for Newt to just kind of be like, well, yeah, You sent me to New York. I'm not gonna, like, question it too much.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in their relationship where Newt feels, like, a sense of, like, guilt or, like, he owes Dumbledore something, yeah. And Dumbledore is further manipulating it and taking advantage of it.
Well, we know that Dumbledore defended him in school.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we knew more about what their relationship was like when Newt was a student. Like, was it of, like, similar to Harry? Because with Harry, there's this whole unique situation of, like, okay, I'm gonna have basically these individual classes with Harry. Mm-hmm. About what he needs to do, because he's got to do it, like, now. With Newt, we don't necessarily know if that's the case, or if he was just kind of, like, he liked Newt as a student, and he defended Newt when he got expelled, and that was kind of it? We don't know.
Let's just bring Joshua Shea back! Bring him yes. back! Bring him back! Yeah, bring him back! So.
Let's just throw in a sixth movie that's just, like, all flashback.
Oh, man, yeah. That'd be good. And it also includes
I don't know about that, Amy, because if one of our films already got delayed by a year... True. So, you know, we thought that this film series was gonna end... We thought it was gonna end in 2026, but now we're probably looking at, like, 2027, yeah. Maybe 2028.
Maybe that's why. Do you guys want to think about how delayed by a year? They it's were like, oh man, people really later. Want these flashbacks. We're going to make a whole film of it.
By the time we watch the last movie, it's going to be literally 100 years after the first movie takes place.
Oh my god. I had to do that math. I'm not good at math. Wow. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah. I don't know, man. If you want to figure out how old you're going to be in, like, 2028, go for it. I don't. Man.
I will be...
No.
34, possibly 35. Oh, God.
Then I would be 35, possibly 36.
Yeah, I'd be like 34.
No. Not I don't 33. Even want to turn 25. I'm sorry.
Flirty, 30, and thriving. Woo! Just kidding. I'll be wiped up, probably. If not, then we're going to have problems.
Anyway, yeah, so just kind of on the topic of, like, their relationship with Newt, when Newt was in school, I have later here, like, as we're seeing it now, Newt and Dumbledore are almost peers, like, at least more peer-like than Harry and Dumbledore were, where Dumbledore is very much Harry's teacher, because he mm-hmm. is. But Newt and Dumbledore, like, Dumbledore is still obviously the more, like, leader figure, mentor figure, I guess. But Newt's also a little bit more like, all right, well, what? Newt has a bit more of, like, his own life, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I just want to know everything. I just want to know so much.
I feel like it's a really interesting dynamic, though, yeah. between Newt and Dumbledore, because they're so, so different.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Dumbledore is, like, the cool, like, popular, like, everyone wants to be, like, powerful, like, stylish, no. well. And then, like, Newt is just very awkward and different and... just kind of
well and they don't even have really solitary. They don't even have the same interests,
yeah, not at all.
Like, they obviously both want Grindelwald defeated, but
yeah,
not even necessarily in the same way.
Like, Dumbledore doesn't really care about a little family of Nifflers. Like, that's not real high on his list.
Yeah. Well, and, like, Dumbledore... Okay, so Dumbledore learns about this Obscurus, right? In New York. He's sending Newt there not just like, hey, there's this sad kid. Mm-hmm. Can you help him out? It's, hey, this sad kid could murder me. Can you fix that? Like,
yeah.
And murdering me would be terrible. Because I'm the only one who can defeat Grindelwald, but I'm not gonna do it because of this blood pact, and also I don't want to. You have to do it, but...
yeah.
So even, like, he's much more big picture. Newt is much more small picture.
Yeah, for sure.
Newt's like, I'm not going to Paris, and then he's like, Tina's in Paris, and I like Tina.
I feel like Dumbledore is drawn to that kind of, like, simple, like, very, like, honest, heartfelt, like, sense of innocence, too.
Yeah.
And I think that he both envies that and sees it as very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably part of the draw to Newt, just because he is very just, like, matter of fact in how he sees the world. And he will be small picture. So I guess if you're thinking about, like, who do you want fighting in your corner, who's going to focus on the now and the task at hand, it's going to be Newt. Because he won't think about, like, people like that, they'll think about overcoming, like, the hurdles and the barriers as they come, and not think, like, super far into the future of, oh, if I do this way, then that's gonna end up this way, like, 10 years from now, blah, blah, blah. Like, they'll just, like, do it and just focus on what needs to be done then.
Well, and even, like, Dumbledore doesn't fight a violent war. If you think about, like, the people that Voldemort and Grindelwald surround themselves, they're more warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But Dumbledore is looking for people who are smart and can fight a battle of wits.
Yeah.
And that's what Newt brings to the table. He's not going to physically fight anyone, but
right.
he can kind of go behind the scenes. Dumbledore's more of a spy.
Yeah. It's more, like, about outmaneuvering.
Yeah. Well, and I was gonna say, one of the articles I mentioned, I mean, the title of it is Newt is Everything Dumbledore Wishes He Was.
Yeah.
And basically, the kind of summary of the article is, like, the, you know, a lot of aspects of Newt are things that Dumbledore probably kind of looks up to, that, you know, even the, like, naivete words of Newt, just kind of, like, that pure energy, that cinnamon roll energy.
The technical term.
Yeah, I think Dumbledore does not even necessarily, like, aspire to be that way. I think he knows that he's not gonna be like that as a person, but I think he likes people who are like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a big thing that even Dumbledore says to Harry is, like, a lot of things he doesn't do it because he know that he's just gonna end up being greedy for power. But Newt's not. Harry's not.
Mm-hmm.
So... he thinks they won't feel the same temptations, so then they can go take care of this dirty work. another couple notes I have here. I think to Newt and Harry, Dumbledore definitely kind of fills the role as a father figure, because, I mean, of course Harry didn't have a father.
What? Sorry. Couldn't help myself.
James died.
What? Spoiler. Sorry, again, I'm done.
And then we've never heard mention of Newt's father. As far as we know, he was absent. Don't know if that's because he left the family or was dead or what. I don't know. But I think to them, Dumbledore kind of fills in that space. So that kind of explains why they look up to him in a way. I was wondering if Dumbledore sees sort of reflections of himself in Newt and Harry, or even maybe reflections of Grindelwald and he wants to help them, or of Aberforth and Ariana and he wants to help them turn out better.
Yeah.
Well, Harry, I think he, like, had to help It was, like, a little less of, like, if he wanted to. But riddle me this. At this point, was Newt expelled or was he not expelled?
What? When?
In the original thing, they were like, Newt got expelled, right?
I think he was expelled.
Yeah. And then wasn't there, like, a potential situation where kind of, like, backtracked that and we were like, wait, was he not expelled?
I don't know. They haven't explained it at all. I think, so the original book said graduated, and the updated book says, like, left. Let me look real quick.
I think because they said, like, Dumbledore argued against his expulsion, but it never clearly said if he was successful in that argument or not, so we don't know if he was expelled or if Dumbledore saved him and he finished.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I couldn't envision if, like, you know, Dumbledore was looking after Newt, and when that situation came up, you know, obviously it bonded them together, but I'm curious if maybe what happened with the beast was not, I don't want to blame Dumbledore, but, like, who knows, Dumbledore could have potentially been manipulating Newt the entire time, like he was with Harry.
Is it?
So, I don't know.
Is it possible that he wasn't necessarily super close with Newt in school? Like, he definitely saw potential in Newt, and he liked Newt as a student, but when Newt got expelled, Dumbledore tried to argue against it and failed, and then maybe Dumbledore took on Dumbledore feeling guilty of not being able to help him, sort of started...
Like, he kind of, like, tutored him?
Yeah, almost like...
Off the books?
Almost like how he kept Hagrid on at school.
Yeah. You know? That's, like, the original point I wanted to make, and then Amy very cleverly was like, well, maybe he wasn't expelled because they didn't exactly say that, and I'm like, maybe. I don't even know anymore, so this could all be a bunch of nothing coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, the new version of Fantastic Beasts says upon leaving Hogwarts, so it's still not clear. Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going on.
We thought it would be the flashbacks of this movie, but it wasn't.
I just wanted to say too, like, to your point of Dumbledore being like a father figure, I think it's really interesting watching the interactions between Newt and Dumbledore and Newt and Theseus.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, like, it feels very much to me like Theseus, being the older brother, tried to step in as that father figure, but, like, Newt didn't really look up to him or respect him in that way. And he did with Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, is a pretty common thing. I mean, I think a lot of times I love my sister, but I can relate to, like, being the younger sibling and maybe... your older sibling isn't exactly, like, the person you look up to the most.
Well,
and maybe there's someone else who fills that void more.
I could see...
Which is kind of what I see there.
I could see Theseus also trying to take on more of a, like, disciplinary role.
Yeah.
Like, Theseus is like, okay, well, I'm gonna teach you to follow the rules, and I'm gonna tell you when you do something wrong.
Right. Like, trying too hard.
Yeah. And then Dumbledore is more like, I'm the cool dad.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting, you know, I see Harry and Newt, you know, subconsciously looking up to Dumbledore as a father figure, but I don't think Dumbledore looks at anyone as, like, a fill-in child.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, he's not.
No.
For all of his preaching about love, I don't know how attached he can get to someone. I feel like...
if Harry was a fill-in child, he would have never have been able to pull that whole thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
That was, like, grade A Oscar... No, not Oscar-worthy. EGOT-worthy performance.
I believe he truly did love Harry, and I think that he has affection for Newt, but I think... With Dumbledore, there's something preventing him from actually experiencing the level of just pure love for someone.
Yeah. And maybe that's just because admired. Of his experience with Grindelwald.
Right, right.
Or even just his experience with his family.
Or Tom Riddle.
Yeah, eventually. That one didn't work out.
True.
But yeah, definitely if he was thinking of these kids as, like, his kids, it would be very different. He would not be able to tell them to go do this stuff. It's weird, I've never thought before about, like, Dumbledore, like, wanting a family?
Yeah.
Like, you have to think in a way he does, but I think it's more he wants his family back. And he regrets what he did to make that collapse.
But in a way, he didn't always want his family.
Yeah,
you know, he was so embarrassed by his father, and he was ready to, like, ship off once he got out of school. He was ready to, like, just get out and do his own thing. It's just because everything else happened that he got drawn back in.
It's hard to separate a lot of that, like, from what happened with Grindelwald. Just, not even necessarily Ariana dying, but just, like, how Grindelwald affected his ambitions. But, yeah, he and Doge were gonna go travel the world.
Yes.
Man, I want so much more.
Guys, can I put in another musical reference right now?
Yeah, do it.
But I won't sing it, okay. I promise. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, but because I knew you, I have been changed for good. The greater good. But in all seriousness, like, that's basically how it went down. It's basically what happened. Because Dumbledore would not be who he was if that didn't happen.
No, that's true. I don't necessarily think that had Grindelwald never entered his life, that Dumbledore would be, like, a good person. Maybe a happier person, but I think it would have taken him longer to become aware of his ambition for power.
Do you think, I know we are a Fantastic Beasts podcast within the Harry Potter universe, but I am, like, scheming a little bit more on the Potter side right now. Okay. Do we think that part of the draw for Dumbledore to get close to Harry, aside from, like, the, you know, like, kind of had to situation, was because he saw a bit of Riddle in him and feared that if he didn't step in and steer him, you know, theoretically, like, in the right direction, he could have also gone bad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, literally.
I mean, yeah, because he was, like, right there on that hat stall.
Yeah.
Like, it could have, I know that was, like, not really Dumbledore. Imagine if Dumbledore manipulated the hat. That would be crazy. I'm not even gonna go there. Hey, I don't know.
I mean, they're friends, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna step off that ledge. I can't. Not with that one. No. Oof. That's so much manipulation. It's all a lie!
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, he knew, like, the whole time that Harry was a Horcrux, or was possibly a Horcrux. So I'm sure part of that was trying to keep Harry in line. Which is interesting because, comparing it back to Newt, that's not a problem with Newt. Like, even if Harry hadn't been a Horcrux, it's not like Dumbledore would have looked at Newt and been like, yeah, he definitely could be a dark wizard. Like, no.
Right.
He was doing fine. No. It's just a little weird. So, I think Newt is honestly a bit of a, outlier in terms of the people that Dumbledore surrounds himself with and uses.
Yeah, because also what we have to remember, and I have to remind myself this constantly, is that Dumbledore wasn't the headmaster. He was literally just the teacher.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was as actively involved in all of the houses and the kids as much as, you know, he was with, and Riddle, he wasn't even a headmaster. Yeah. He was almost there, but not even. So he was probably, like, training up for it or whatever.
Well, yeah, and, like, Newt and Riddle were both in different houses from Dumbledore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle, obviously, he had this connection from, like, going and finding him.
Yeah.
Being that initial introduction to the wizarding world. but that wouldn't have been the case with Newt. I wonder if, like, was Newt good in class? Was he a good student? I don't remember anything, like, being mentioned.
I don't think we got any information. I would almost think he was, like, a Neville.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't necessarily, like, bad, but he really, like, excelled in, well, in this case, it'd be Care of Magical mm-hmm. Creatures, where Neville, it was Herbology. Mm-hmm. Like, he had that one thing that he was like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, and it's okay if I'm not the best at mm-hmm. everything else, because this is my thing.
Well, and if Dumbledore is teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts, I guess, I would...
Right. Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
I would imagine that Newt wasn't necessarily good at it, but showed, like, a different kind of potential than the other students. I mean, even just the scene we saw, like, his fear is working at a desk. So I'm sure that's the kind of thing Dumbledore would look at and be like, man, of all the scary sh** in the world, this kid just doesn't want to work at a desk. Love it. I'm gonna send him out into the world to fight stuff. Because he's got no fear.
And while it might be very damaging to those involved, I do think that it sometimes his end goal is to minimize the damage as it pertains to the wider world. So I think it's very interesting because, I mean, obviously it's like, how do you do this to people that you supposedly care about?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's you can kind of see what he's trying to do.
That's why that scene is
not going about it in the exact right way, but
to show, I think, Dumbledore kind of being like, huh. So the kind of final question I had in here was, is Dumbledore's manipulation justified? What do you guys think?
I feel like with Harry, he almost had to keep things from him. Just with the nature of him being a kid. And just, you're not going to tell an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old, hey, guess what? You're just going to have to die. Like,
well, I guess kind of tied up in this question is, like, is there a better way to have done this? And we don't totally know with Fantastic Beasts yet, because it's not over. We don't know how it's going to pan out. But we know that he defeats Grindelwald.
Yeah. I think with Newt, I really think that if he just told him what he was going for and asked it, Newt would probably still do it.
I guess looking at, like, Harry, definitely Dumbledore made mistakes in terms of, like, and he admits, like, he should have told Harry more information from the get-go. but, like, in the end, is the general way of that he went about it better than another way? You gotta die. Well, and Harry is a very different situation because Harry didn't have a choice whether or not to be involved. He would have been involved regardless. So, whereas Newt wouldn't have been involved if Dumbledore hadn't brought him in, as far as we know. Or even if he didn't do it, he'd find out Tina was there and then he'd go do it. Yeah.
I'm so torn, because, like, it worked out for the people he was manipulating. You know, Newt lives. Harry lived. I mean, he died for a quick second, but, like, he lived. So it's...
And as far as we know, like, you know, they're fine, and they both respect Dumbledore.
Yeah, I mean, Harry named his kid after him. Yeah. Newt didn't do that. That's fine. I'm sure Dumbledore's not mad about it, you know. He's not offended.
I think it's easier to point to Harry and say that maybe the way that Dumbledore went about it was generally the best thing he could have done. And that it did work out for the best and that he did minimize the damage done to Harry as a person. I think it's harder with Newt because we don't know how it's going to end up. And also because I think Newt is a less emotional person than Harry, and part of that
that's true
is because he's an adult now, but also just like you know, he definitely has troubles with his emotions, and that's kind of part of his arc, is learning how to, like, care about people and stuff.
Dramatically.
He's not gonna be like, I hate you, I'm gonna destroy your office. You know?
Here's another question.
Yeah.
If Credence dies.
Yeah.
Would you justify Dumbledore's manipulation?
I guess it depends on how much Dumbledore tries to save him.
True.
Because we don't exactly know. I mean, Dumbledore wants to save Credence. He's
got great intentions.
Yeah, but if, you know.
Yeah. I feel
in the end, like, Credence dies, and maybe Dumbledore could have done something more. But then I think, even just what I was saying about, like, when Harry destroys the office, that's after Sirius dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I know I just said, like, Newt wouldn't do that, but then again I was like, but what if, I know we know Tina doesn't die, but, like, what if Tina died? What if Jacob died? Like, then how would the relationship change?
It's true.
And how would Newt's feelings about, yeah, how would Newt's feelings about doing all this change? And even what if Credence died? Like, I think Newt doesn't really know Credence, but I think he cares about him, theoretically, and wants to save him. And I think if Credence did die, Newt would be very upset, and Tina would be very upset.
I feel like Newt's reaction when the Ministry wanted him to hunt down Credence and kill him kind of says it all. Like, if someone dies as a result of this, I don't know that there will be any coming back from that. But we know that they come back from that because Dumbledore... Well, actually, no. I was just going to say because Dumbledore writes the foreword in Fantastic Beasts, but that book already came out in the timeline of the movies. So...
I hope Jacob doesn't die. I know I just said, like, what if Jacob died? But man, that would suck. What if Queenie dies? Ugh! Well, but I think the foreword is technically for the, like, 2001 re-release of it.
Oh, okay.
So I think theoretically they should be pals again by then.
So everything's still sunny. All right.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, if Dumbledore was like, hey, I need you to kill Credence, that would just be like, no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know, I could almost see Dumbledore reaching that point, depending on the desperation of the situation with Grindelwald, but I don't think Dumbledore would ask Newt to do something like that. I don't think Dumbledore would ask Newt to actually ever hurt anybody. Because I don't think Dumbledore wants to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't even want to hurt Grindelwald. He's just like, honestly, you think about it, Dumbledore isn't even necessarily being like, we need to get rid of Grindelwald. He's being like, we need to stop Grindelwald from getting this Obscurus.
Mm-hmm.
At least partially because it could kill me. But also very powerful. Don't want that in Grindelwald's hands. It's very complicated. He's a very complex human. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's definitely something that we could debate for hours on end, because the more we talk about it, the more things we think of, and it's just, you know what would solve this? It wouldn't solve it, but I'm just going to keep going on about it. The Harry Potter Encyclopedia, we were promised from J.K. Rowling that was canceled. It's fine. It's fine. I'm a little hurt still. I don't know if you can tell. I'm a little hurt.
You know what I want to read? The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore by Rita Skeeter.
Yeah!
You know what? Reading Deathly Hallows, I'm like, Rita. And now I'm like, she was onto something. She didn't get it all in there, but, like, that was a whole book. We got to read, like, one chapter.
I mean, kind of impressive, like, she dug that up.
Yeah. Man, you know who I want to see in these movies? Elpheus Doge.
Doge. I just like saying it.
Just want him to show up and be like, hey, how's it going? That would be
fantastic. Oh, I didn't mean to say it. Oh, I said, oh.
I bet Doge and Newt would get along.
They could travel together.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Dumbledore, you sly, sneaky, silver-bearded fox. I don't know.
But you gotta admit, he's got style.
Dumbledore's got style. That's not the exact impersonation, but hey, it's fine.
Shall we go to the Newt case?
Yeah! So, the Newt case. Bum, bum, bum. So I figured we could talk about leprechauns, because last weekend was St. Patrick's Day, and I know those two things aren't perfectly intertwined, but sorry, that is the segue I chose. They are sometimes known as the chloricorn. Is that how you guys would say that?
Yeah. We'll go with it.
Chloricorn?
Chloricorn?
Yeah. Chloricorn.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, something like that.
Sometimes known as the Claricorn. Their Ministry of Magic classification is XXXX, which basically just means competent wizards should cope. I think that means that, like, they're not bad, but they're not great. I sometimes, like, that guide really confuses me. I'm also noticing right now how horribly I misspelled classification in this doc. Leprechauns are more intelligent than fairies, and they're less malicious than an imp, a pixie, or a doxy. They are known to create crude clothing from leaves. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I don't want to think about it.
I don't think it means inappropriate. I think it means crude in the sense of, like, not fancy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, if you want to think of it as, like, super inappropriate, that's fine, too.
No, I don't.
Whatever floats your boat.
Listen, no. even though they can speak, they've never been asked to be reclassified as beings, which is why they're still considered beasts. But very nice for Newt to include that info, because I know we've talked about that a few times when it comes to, you know, like, intelligence levels and all that such. They enjoy attracting Muggle attention, which is an explanation for why they appear so much in children literature. They eat leaves. Great. Greens are good.
They're healthy.
I wish I ate more greens, so maybe I need to try the leprechaun diet. I don't know. They are not known for any lasting damage to humans, which is nice. It's pretty good. So the leprechaun name means small body. So that's fun. The earliest known reference to the leprechaun appears in the medieval tale known as The Adventure of Fergus, Son of Letty. The text contains an episode in which the King of Ulster falls asleep on the beach and wakes up to find himself being dragged into the sea by three leprechauns. He captures his abductors, who grant him three wishes in exchange for release. This information did come from Wikipedia, so disclaimer. Who knows? Yeah, fair disclaimer, but I did see it mentioned a couple of times across my web searches. If you happen to capture a leprechaun, they're supposed to give you three wishes if you let them go. Honestly, I completely forgot about that. Definitely learned that in elementary school, though. I do remember, like, elementary school, you know, making the pots of gold and drawing the rainbows and everything. And I do remember this coming up. So that was fun to be reminded of. Also fun, Warwick Davis has starred in 6 leprechaun horror movies, which I did not know existed.
There's such a thing? What?
Yeah, I didn't know of this. I didn't know this existed. I'm really glad, because I'm terrified of anything, and I'm sure even though the production value is, like, way old at this point, that I shouldn't be afraid. I still would be. Disclaimer, there have been 2 more since then, and he decided not to come back to them because he was like, you know, I have kids now, like, let's just not do this kind of thing.
So this was like an actual film series? Like, yes. Saw, but leprechauns?
Yes. Yes. You should, if everyone, look up the movie poster, because, wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Lizzie, you know what we're going to watch?
Like, no. Next... No. Okay. No.
Whoa.
Telling you. Universal Horror Nights, I will never come near that thing. Like, if I can't watch these leprechaun horror films, yeah. I can't come near Horror High Nights. Never will. Never. And then according to Carolyn White's A History of Irish Fairies, there is no record of any female leprechauns existing. This, of course, means that leprechauns defy typical laws of biology by surviving, and there is no evidence which tells the story of how they breed. The aforementioned book says that leprechauns are actually deformed children of fairies.
But only males.
Yes, only male children.
Only males can be this
yes.
dumb.
And then my final tidbit is that leprechauns are actually a protected species under EU law. So the the European Union. In Claringford, Ireland, there is a trail that's called the, and guys, like I said, I'm really sorry if this is wrong, the Slieve Foy Loop Trail, and it's officially protected land for the 236 leprechauns that apparently still live in Ireland, and I have the sources to prove it, including Atlas Obscura. So, yeah. Yeah, this is the thing.
Wow.
Like, it's just a protected land that's like, I guess you can't do anything to it.
Interesting.
It's gotta protect it.
Are so you, those like, are allowed to go there? Like, have people, like, gone there and tested this and is, like, searching for Bigfoot, like, looking for the leprechauns?
Well, so this happened in 2010, so it's fairly new. They're saying it's very easy to see why leprechauns would choose this location. You know, it has a nice mountain. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're saying if you don't spot any leprechauns lurking around, the walk is still worth it. So you can go there. I just think if you see a leprechaun, you, like, can't do anything to it. Like, you can't hunt it or anything like that. You can't ask for wishes. You can't take gold coins. You know. Yeah.
Interesting.
The trail is about 5.5 miles long. Takes a 2.5 hours to complete. The first incline is the steepest. The remaining is far more gentle. I mean, it looks really pretty. But yeah, so if anybody wanted to go potentially see some leprechauns, Carlingford, I said Claringford earlier, sorry. Carlingford, Ireland is the place to go.
Well, adding that to the bucket list.
Right?
I'm trying to figure out where chloroquine comes from.
Because yeah.
That's not a thing outside of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, if you Google chloroquine, it just comes up with, like, Harry Potter Wiki, alternative name for leprechaun.
Oh, huh. Yeah, and that's definitely, like, where I pulled it from, just so you know. Yeah. Again, more...
Yeah. And it's, like, she has that in the book, but I'm just like, okay, so then where did she get this word? And so the corn means horn. Like unicorn.
Okay. Sure.
And then C L A U
R I
language. Yeah. That's nothing. But C L A U means key in some languages, but not in Irish or English. But C H L O R, like chloris or chlorine, means green.
Nice.
So, it's the sound of a word that means green. And also horn. I guess I'm not entirely sure where leprechaun as a word came from. That might help explain it. But I'm just like, where did this word come from, J.K. Rowling? I'm very interested by it now.
Yeah,
Also, the name Chloris is a girl's name, but there are no girl leprechauns, so...
There are a lot of gaping holes in this one, huh?
A lot of questions.
Lots of today. Questions. Any thoughts on leprechaun? Leprechaun. Wow. Leprechauns.
Sound cool.
Next thing I'm going to be like, any thoughts on lethifolds? And you guys are going to be like, what? I'm going to be like, well, wrong episode. Maybe we'll see them if we ever go to Ireland.
That would be very interesting.
I want to see a leprechaun. I don't really want to see this, but I want to see I'm going to say leprechaun again. Okay. I want to see.
That's a better word than leprechaun. Leprechaun?
I want to see a leprechaun and a Niffler fight for gold. I like don't really want to see them fight, but like I want to watch that happen. Like I want to watch that interaction. Like who gets there first? Who is more serious about gold? Leprechauns or Nifflers?
I just picture like a Niffler just not giving up and just like hanging off of the gold while the leprechaun is like walking away with it.
Oh, I completely see the Niffler just, like, completely shoving the leprechaun. Being like, absolutely not.
They don't mess around.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Newt needs to capture a leprechaun so he can, and then get his three wishes. So this turns into the plot of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three wishes would be good.
Yeah, the first wish would be save Credence. The second wish would be bring me Tina. And the third wish would be, can I go home now?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on leprechauns?
No.
All right, well, I hope you all enjoyed learning a little bit more, and especially about the special trail in Ireland, where you can go looking
and
for them.
If anybody goes there and finds one, let us know.
Yeah.
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 Or if anybody's watched the Warwick Davis's film series, let me know, like, on a scale of wimp to scary, how scary it is. Just so, like, I can determine if I can handle it. Like, it has to be on, like, wimp level. As in, like, a wimp can handle it, not, like, wimps. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you guys get it. If you see the movie and you think someone who's terrified of everything can handle it... Let me know.
I've heard of that movie. I didn't know there were so many.
Yeah, apparently there are 8. So that's it's just a like, lot. Who knew? Crazy.
Like, no wonder he decided to walk away. That's a commitment.
But he said he would go back, like, after his kids were a certain age. He was like, I would do it again, like, once they turned 18. Oh. And I was like, what? Okay. What is stopping you right now? I don't know. Maybe they're afraid?
So. Mm. There's Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun 4 in space.
Space?
Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun back to the Hood, Leprechaun Origins, and Leprechaun Returns.
That's amazing.
Wow.
The last one came out last year.
Oh my god.
That's hilarious.
All of them after Leprechaun 2 are direct to video, because Leprechaun 2 didn't perform well.
Gee, wonder
well
why. Sounds like a winner.
Leprechaun 4 in space.
Yes. In the Hood.
In 2096, on a remote planet, the leprechaun attempts to court a princess named Zarina. What?
This doesn't sound like a horror film.
Warwick Davis as the leprechaun, parentheses, King Leprechaun.
Oh.
Oh my god. I have to watch these.
Shannon, don't you trick me into this.
Me? Never.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So Sunday's weekend binge session has been brought to you by the Leprechaun film potential horror series.
Iced tea is in these movies? That's what Leprechaun in the Hood is. It's an American black comedy slasher film starring Warwick Davis and Iced tea.
What?
That's a combo I didn't know I needed.
It's just so strange.
Okay.
Like, I have to see it now.
Maybe we can watch it, Amy. Maybe.
Wow. So it's comedy horror.
So, like, Scary Movie?
This was Jennifer Aniston's film debut.
What?
Wow, that was high pitch. I'm so sorry for everybody who has to listen to that.
It was 1993.
Wow.
Reshoots added increased gore to appeal to older audiences. Great. So it was originally meant to be just horror, but then Warwick Davis was funny. So it's comedy horror. I'll see you guys at the Speak Beastie Common Room watch of Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Movie
and
night. The subsequent sequels.
Okay.
Anyway, let's wrap this up.
So that's it for this episode of Speak Beastie. But before we go, we need to give you guys a podcast question so we can actually get some owls next time around. So this episode's podcast question is, do you think Dumbledore's manipulation is justified? So write to us your thoughts, your comments, and we would love to hear them. So you can drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate any feedback. We're always trying to grow and improve the podcast. So any constructive criticism is welcome. And of course, glowing reviews are also welcome. So definitely review us on iTunes, please.
And while you're on the internet, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the handle @SpeakBeastie, or on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, or check us out on Tumblr, speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And of course, you can always support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. Like we mentioned before, if for some reason we ever did stream the Leprechaun horror films, that would definitely be a very interesting Speak Beastie common room experience, which certain patrons are able to gain access to. And we always want to thank our patrons for supporting the show.
Hey, I mean, I'm all for it. Like, if our patrons want to see us do a Google Hangout watching these Leprechaun movies, especially going to space, I mean, that would be some quality content.
I want the one with iced tea.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
So we skip the first three, and we just go to space, and then the
and
hood.
Then back to the
yes.
Hood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then whatever the last one was.
I'm Amy.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Shannon. Case closed.